St. John chapter 6 and verse 30. I'm going to begin reading at verse 35. And just trust that the Lord will help us today. We want to be a blessing and want to reach out to you today. Praise God. If you found it, say amen. All right. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from the heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it again in that last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this group of people. I'm asking you, Lord, that your anointed would just rest upon us. Lord, we sense your presence. We feel you near. Lord Jesus, as your word goes forth, Lord, may it bring results. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would bless every hearer. God, just anoint these lips of clay, Father, that I would speak your words and not mine own. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. I want to preach to us today, and really, I've thought about various things, and I really thought what I want to do this morning is go fishing, really. If you're here and you're out of the ark of safety, and you feel like that maybe that I'm preaching right at you, well, I'm going to do my best to preach right at you, because I want to see you saved, and I want to see you in heaven. I believe that it is the will of God that every individual on the face of the earth come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that God wants you saved. And this morning, if you're here and you're lost without Christ, we want you saved. That is really our purpose of being here this morning. That's the reason why that we're on the corner of Cooper Foster and Broadway, because we're here to see the lost come to Jesus. It is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God that is desiring this morning to help you to come to Him. Now, I realize there's a lot of things. We want to be gentle. We want to be kind, because Jesus is gentle and Jesus is kind. But listen, when it comes to your soul's salvation, when it comes to your eternal destiny, it's time for tough love sometimes. It's time to just come right out and tell you in no mixed words that if you are lost without Jesus Christ and you die in your sin, you're going to hell. But if you will come to Jesus, you have the opportunity for eternity, and eternity in heaven. Everyone is going to spend eternity somewhere. And I only know of two choices. It is either heaven with Jesus and all the saints of God, or it is in hell with the devil and his angels and his imps and all of those. Listen, I've heard folks say, well, you know, if I go to hell, I'll be with my friends. No, you're not going to have any friends there. If you go to hell, you're going to be there with men like Hitler. You're going to be there with men like Stalin. You're going to be there with the world's worst that you can imagine. You're going to be there with all of the ungodliness that has ever been on the face of the earth. All the unrepentant sinners are going to be there with you. And the Bible tells us clearly, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There will be a place, there is a place of outer darkness. But I'm here to tell us this morning that God wants you, Jesus wants you to come to Him and be safe from those things. Amen. These verses that I read to you, they were said to be D.L. Moody's favorite text. It was a text in which he and others through the course of years have found assurance. It is a text, it is a scripture that makes you feel secure. Amen. Especially in verse 37 when it says, "All that the Father giveth to me that will come to Him, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." God, Jesus wants you to come to Him just as you are and find a place of safety where you don't have to be lost and you don't have to be in torment forever. Jesus says, just come to Him. Just come to Him. Just as you are. But some say, well, I got to fix this and I got to fix that, or I got to do this and I got to do that before I can come to Jesus. I know I've known folks that they thought they had to get their life just perfect before they'd ever come to Jesus. But listen, it is that reason, because of Him, because of what He's done for you. It's not what you can do for yourself. Praise God. To come to Jesus is to receive Him. He says, "Him that cometh to me." You look in the Bible and there's all these instances where Jesus had folks rushing to Him. They were coming for many reasons. There were some, yeah, they came for the loaves and the fishes. There were some that came to Him because they needed a miracle. There were some that came to Jesus because they were in trouble, because their family members were sick and dying, or because they had died. All these kind of things. They came to Jesus because they had a need. And this morning, if you will come to Him, He says He's going to receive you. To come to Jesus is to receive Him. That is the first step in faith. And I know there's a lot of ways. I've seen a lot of folks give a lot of different kind of altar calls, and ours this morning may be a little bit different than normal for Broadway Assembly. I don't know how the Lord is going to lead, but you know, I was in a congregation some time ago that the pastor, there was probably there were thousands there, and the pastor gave his invitation. He said, if you're willing to receive Christ as your Savior, if you're accepting Him, just make eye contact with me. Well, that's a pretty easy way to do it, isn't it? But you know, when we come to Jesus, there's a dying out to sin. When we come to Jesus, there is a mourning over the things. I mean, repentance can be a bitter thing. I've seen folks that have come and that they get to a certain point and they would just stop and get up and go back to their seat. But you know, I still believe in the old-fashioned altar of laying down sin. And getting rid of sin. To come to Jesus is to receive Him. There is nothing complicated about His invitation. There is nothing about a religious ceremony. There is nothing about your good works. There is nothing about what you give as far as your money. Just giving yourself. Just giving yourself. That's what. And when you give yourself, you're receiving life. Praise God. I don't know about you, sinner, but when I came to Jesus, I was a mess. And I needed somebody to help me. And if you're here and you're lost without Jesus, you need Him this morning. But you might say, well, life is good and I don't have any problems and it's all going well and all this. But there is coming a time that it's not going to be good if you die in your sin. Amen. And there's going to come times. But receiving Christ is just placing faith in Him. We become aware of our sinful condition. I believe it was also Moody that made the statement. He said, before you can ever get a man, preach a man saved, you got to preach him lost. We want good people to come to Jesus. No, Jesus wants bad people. Jesus wants all people, rich, poor, it doesn't matter, old, young, it doesn't matter your position in life, but Jesus came for you. I read a story in the book of Luke, especially, that I really like, and it's meant a lot. There was a rich man, and there was a poor man. The poor man's name was Lazarus, and he was begging the food to the crumbs from the rich man's table. And he refused. He sat there, and just even the dogs came and licked his wounds, according to the Bible, sores all over his body. But the rich man died. And he died lost. And the Bible says that in hell, he lifted up his voice, his eyes. He saw Lazarus being comforted in Abraham's bosom. Because Lazarus had died first and was carried away into that place of safety, a place of security. The man who had nothing had everything. The man who had everything died and left it all. But the worst thing that he lost was his soul. What does it profit a man? Should he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would you give in exchange for your soul? There's a time, folks. It's time to come face to face with the reality of eternity. We need to live our lives in the light of eternity. We need to live every day as this could be my last day. This could be the last service that I will be in. This could be the last message that Brother Smith would ever be preaching. This could be the last song that some of us might have sang. This could be your last opportunity, because we don't know what lies around the bend. But when we come to realize, we've got to realize our sinful condition. But I'm as good as anybody. Oh yeah? But if you've not trusted Jesus, you're as lost as the lost. It doesn't get any worse than that. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, see, there was a rich young ruler came to Jesus and he kept all the commandments. He had done everything right, the letter of the law. He had done all these things, but Jesus, knowing his heart, told him one more thing he needed to do. And the young man went away sorrowfully because of his possessions. Now, does that mean that Jesus wants you to give up everything you got? Not necessarily. But you need to give up your sin. You need to give up your idols. You need to give up the things that are most important to you that would keep you away from God. What is it that keeps you away from trusting Jesus this morning? All is sinned and come short of the glory of love. We understand from Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, we understand that we cannot save ourselves. Your goodness, your righteousness, my righteousness is as filthy rags when it comes to facing God. All of our goodness, and we need to live right, we need to live clean, we need to live pure, we need to live holy. But all those good things that we could ever do will not save an individual from hell. It will not get you into heaven. Amen. Receiving Christ is not trying to earn the favor with God. It is by grace that we're saved. That not of works. It is the gift of God. It is what God has given you. He gives you faith and He gives you that opportunity. You are not here this morning by accident. You're here because it's a divine plan of God. And if you're here in this place this morning and you're lost without Christ, Jesus wants you to come to a place of safety. Jesus wants you to rest in Him. Praise God. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Yes, He's the Savior of the whole world, but He's mine. And He can be yours. Brother Cruz is the Lord, His Savior. He's mine. He's many in this congregation, and He wants to be yours. He wants to be your personal Savior, your Lord, your Redeemer. To come to this place of safety, to come to Jesus, we've got to be received by Him. And His Word is very clear when He says, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus, all you do is you come to Him, and He says, I will accept you. Hey, I've known folks that have prayed for 25 or 30 years for the Lord to save them. I don't know what they're waiting on. Because it's just as simple as I believe Jesus. I believe what His Word says about me. I'm receiving His promise. I'm receiving what He has done in my life. I'm giving it to Him. And I'm receiving His salvation. I'm receiving His mercy. I'm receiving His grace. Those who come find that Christ's arms are open wide to receive Him. It's really a two-way meeting. It is one, it's the seeking sinner that meets a seeking Savior. And two, it's a receiving sinner that meets a receiving Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Just as we are, we come to Him. And He takes care of it. Praise God. The moment that we meet Him, we become the children of God. We become the children of God. I want to turn over into John chapter 1 and verse 12 and just read that scripture to you. just to show you what it says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Did you get that? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Just imagine yourself, lost person, sinner person. Imagine yourself, think of yourself as being a son or daughter of the risen Lord. Think of yourself as being a child of God, a child of the King, a child of the Heavenly King, that you walk with Him and you talk with Him and you share with Him and you have a relationship with Him. It's a personal one-on-one thing. And guess what? God don't have grandkids. Some folks say, well, because my mama was saved, I am. No, you've got to come to grips with it for yourself. You've got to see yourself as a lost individual going to hell. We become the heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Look what God's promised. Look what He has to offer you. I don't know about you, but again, I know where I was when I got saved. And I know by condition. And I know that serving the devil, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it doesn't last. But there's peace with God that is lasting for eternity. There's peace with God that, and somebody says, well, I don't know, I'm afraid I can't live for Him. Well, you got to take that step and trust Him. We will never be separated from His love. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Nothing can separate us from how much God... If you only knew how much God loved you this morning. You say, but I'm too ugly and I've done too much. It doesn't matter. God loves you. Jesus loves you so much. Every day then becomes an adventure in faith. I want to tell you, being a Christian is exciting. That's why I've been one for 40-some years. Being a Christian is an exciting way of living. Praise God. Being saved, going to church? Wow! That's not boring. Well, it's not to me. It might be to you. But if you're bored this morning, we can get you unbored. I can tell you how to do it. Praise God. Trust Jesus. Enjoy His presence. Enjoy living for God. Glory. Hallelujah. To come to Jesus is to receive eternal life from Him. He says, He promised, if you come to Him, I will in no wise cast you. It's a guarantee that bears repeating. I will in no wise cast you out. That's the promise of God. But how will I know He will accept me? Some folks go through life never being accepted. Some folks go through life never having anyone that cares about them. I know young folks. I know young folks today that all they know is rejection. It's one relationship after another, after another, after another. And it's rejection. But when you come to Jesus, you can rest assured He will accept you because He cares for you, because He's concerned about you. It's a guarantee, a promise that assures eternal life. The verses that follow there, verses 38 through 40, Christ came to do the Father's will. The Father wills that not one believer be lost. I believe that Jesus can save, and He still does. And I believe that Jesus can keep you. I believe that He can hold you. Now, He will not go against your will. If you choose, I got news for some folks. If you don't want to go to heaven, God's not going to make you go. If you don't want to be saved, God is not going to make you be saved. I thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if every step that we took would be so much under the control of God that we'd never go anywhere we weren't supposed to go? That every word that we'd say was so under the control of the Holy Ghost that we'd never say anything we ought not to say? That we'd never have an attitude we ought not to have? Wouldn't it be awesome? If we just, well, you know what? I believe we can. Hallelujah. That's kind of deep, isn't it? But the Father wills that all believe have everlasting life. Those who come to Jesus can rest safe and secure in his arms. So, what keeps people from serving Christ? What keeps folks from giving their heart and life to the Lord? What are the things that prevents us from enjoying eternal life? If you're here this morning, you're lost without Christ. I just want to ask you, what is keeping you? What is preventing you from enjoying life? What is preventing you from preparing for heaven? Now, don't wait for a tragedy to get it right. Don't wait for a loss to make it right. Don't wait until you're old and decrepit to serve the Lord. I know, God can save. I've seen God save 90-year-old men. I've seen God save folks as they're getting ready, just as they're ready to pass out, to cross over. I've seen God save children. I've seen God just get a hold of little 5-year-old boys and turn their lives around, and kids in grade school, and their grades started getting better. God promises the best. And God wants the very best for you. Praise God. God wants the very best for you. Are you ready to trust Him this morning? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on this morning? When all that God has to offer is yours for the receiving. It's free. The gift of God is eternal life. The greatest gift that He's got to offer. He's already given it in His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're a whosoever this morning. You're one of those. Praise God. Would you stand with me this morning? As I said, I really feel like maybe doing things a little bit differently here as far as the altar service. But I want to make this altar call just for you this morning. I want to make it just for you that are lost without Christ. And I want to make it just as simple and just as easy as I possibly can. If you got a songbook this morning, page 333. And we want to sing it together. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a simple. What you got to do to be saved? First, I got to know I'm a sinner. Second, I got to know that I'm going to hell without Christ. Next, I got to know that Jesus died for me. I got to know that I need to repent of my sin and quit sinning. Repentance is a complete turnaround. You're saying no to sin and you're saying yes to living for Christ. It's just that simple. And it's simply trust Him. Jesus, I come to You just as I am, with my pain, with my failures, with my faults, with my troubles, with my anxiety, with everything that I'm carrying. You can come to Him this morning. Hallelujah. Let's sing it together. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as
goes about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Well, they continue to play that. I remember so many times as a sinner, at moments like these, and they would sing that song and perhaps many others that I've heard, and I would stand and I say, you know, if they sing one more verse of that, I'll go. But they never sang another verse of it. If you feel the Lord tugging at your heartstrings this morning, I want to urge you to step out of your seat right now, not waiting another moment, and meet us at this altar. Give your heart to the Lord. Say, well, Brother Smith, I don't know how to pray. We'll pray with you. I don't want to be by myself. Well, grab one of the folks with you and tell them to come with you and pray with you. Amen. Because, listen, you're talking about eternity here this morning. You're talking about eternity. Then there's others say, but I don't feel a thing, but I know I'm lost. You know what? If I were in this place right now, and I'd heard the message and the scriptures and the songs that have just been sung, and I didn't feel something, that'd be another reason why I'd want to come to an altar and I'd want to ask God to let me feel conviction. I'd want to ask God to let me feel His presence. I'd want to ask God to come into my heart. Let's sing verse 2 one more time. Will you come? This is just for you.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Father, this morning, Your Word is gone forth, and I know according to Your Word will not return void. Lord, according to Your Word, God, I believe. Lord, I believe that there's a lost soul here in this place this morning that needs You. Lord, there's someone here, they may be closer to eternity than what they really think. Lord, our heart is going out for them this morning, and I know Your hand is reaching out with this invitation for them to come. Lord, I pray today, Father, those that didn't respond, have not responded. God, You can deal with them even when they go home. You can deal with them. Lord, I'm asking You to send old-time conviction to their lives. God, I'm praying that faith would rise up in the hearts and lives of the lost. Lord, I'm praying that a compassion, Lord, of the saints would be greater than ever before to reach the lost. Jesus, we love You this morning. We praise You. We magnify You. Amen. Amen. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've got a special need in your life. You're saved. You feel like you want to spend some time around the altar. Would you come this morning? And if you're lost, you can come with them. As saints, we gather around the altar. You can come. Why don't you come this morning? Praise God. Just love the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's right. That's right. Bring your cares to the Lord. Amen. Bring your cares. Bring your hurts. Bring it to Him. Trust Him. Praise Jesus.